Things are not always what they seem.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Sometimes you have to read between the lines to figure out what's really going on.
It's tough to get any more obvious than that.
Get ready to discuss provocative issues in our community, like spirituality, philosophy, and education, to ethics, crime, and everything in between.
So far, so good.
It's time to open your mind and look at life on a deeper level. Give it some thought and get to the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
What's about to be said right here, you need to listen with both ears.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. On News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380. That's right, baby. WAOK, the voice of the community. You just tuned in to Give It Some Thought, the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold Bennett. We're here every Sunday evening, 6 to 8 p.m., talking about things, discussing things, analyzing things, fussing with each other, you know, doing what it do. Can I say it like that? Is that all right? All right. Listen, here is what we do, and you know our custom. Call somebody, email somebody, text somebody. Whatever it is you do, let them know that they need to do everything they can to listen to WAOK 1380 AM, the voice of the community. Hey, Got a lot to tell you. But this is what I want you to do before we get into the conversation. Like us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. The voice of the community, 1380 WAOK. Like us on Facebook. I need you to do that. Yeah, do that first. I'm just kind of a little shaken about them Falcons. Boy, I don't know what they're doing there. They lost that game. Just upset me. But like us on Facebook, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Need you to do that because I want you to be a part of this thinking, learning, talking community. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. And I want you to be a part of it. Like us there. And what I'd like for you to do also is join the Gist of the Matter discussion group with Dr. Harold Bennett, the Gist of the Matter. So while you're on Facebook, you can do two things. You can like 1380 WAOK, Voice of the Community. You can like us there, and you can like us, and then also you can like the Gist of the Matter with Dr. Harold V. Bennett. Okay? All right. I just want to thank you again for listening in and get you, as I say, get your coffee, get your latte, get your beverage, whatever it is, your favorite drink, and just settle down and spend the afternoon with us. I know you're probably wondering what I want to talk about. I know you're wondering what I want to talk about. Well, there's a lot of things I want to talk about. But the first thing I'm going to do before I get to my main thing, the thing I want to get at, I want to give a shout out to Morgan State, those Morgan State Bears. I got to do it. You all beat the North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University Aggies. I got to give you your props. You all won that game. I want to congratulate you all. You all did better than us. You played better than us. We lost that game, but that's all right. We'll try and make up a little as the season goes. But hats off to Morgan State. You all beat a North Carolina A&T team that was setting records, and I congratulate you. Now I can breathe. I can get that off my chest. I didn't think I was going to be able to make it through today, knowing that A&T lost. But I'm good, y'all. All right. Hey. All right. What do I want to talk about today? I'm going to tell you what I want to talk about today. George Johnson published something in The Root. And what I'm going to do shortly, I'm going to go ahead and get Sean to post it for us. George Johnson published a piece, and it's extremely provocative, extremely provocative. George Johnson published this piece about whether all lives matter. In other words, whether all black lives matter. You know, we got this very important movement now in our community, Black Lives Matter. And George Johnson is actually taking on the issue whether all black lives matter. George Johnson has a very interesting kind of argument. Here is George Johnson's argument. George Johnson is saying that if an African American male, depending upon his sexuality, you know, whether he's heterosexual or homosexual, when that part or that piece is explored, then perhaps this person's life, if there's any kind of violence, any kind of oppression, anything done to diminish the life of someone who perhaps is deemed black and homosexual, that if that person suffers any kind of violence or whatever, that person's life or violence done to that person is taken less seriously than if it were done to someone, a male, who were black and heterosexual. All right, let me say it another way. In the spirit of Johnson's argument, what would happen if Bolton John, if he would, this whole tragedy, that mess that happened down there in Texas, would the outrage have been the same if Mr. Johns, if he would have been a homosexual male and if the shooter had been a white policeman? Would the response have been the same had he been homosexual? That's the question that I think Mr. Johnson is trying to get us to explore. And I want to know what you think about that. We got to talk about that. Do all black lives matter, or do all black lives, people who happen to be heterosexual, matter? Do we care less if black homosexuals are killed, suffer oppression, denigrated, marginalized, alienated? That's what I want to talk about. I sure hope you want to talk about it, because we going to deal with it on the other side. Got some guests that's going to join us. Dr. Willie Godman from the Interdenominational Theological Center is going to join me. Jordan Malkey, a graduating senior from Morehouse, headed to Northwestern. He's going to talk with me about it. Got a lot to talk about. Hey, News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Get them back to the table.
Now back to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
This is the one they're talking about.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Did you know that on average, there was one queer person killed a week in 2017? Many of these killings are happening to black and brown people. Oftentimes, black queer death isn't taken seriously. Look no further than the story of Gemma Moore. He was black, he was gay, and no one is being held accountable for his death. Gemma was found unresponsive in the home of Ed Buck, a wealthy white Democratic Party donor. Buck was suspected of injecting 26-year-old Gemma Moore with methamphetamine, causing him to overdose and die on Buck's living room floor in July 2017. The coroner ruled Gimmel's death an accidental overdose. And recently, LA prosecutors declined to file charges against Buck. Buck will never be held accountable for Moore's death, while Gimmel continues to be painted by media as a gay escort whose fate was inevitable. Last November, a 14-year-old gay black boy named Giovanni Melton was killed in his own home. His father, Wendell Melton, was charged with murder, child abuse, and possession of a gun by a prohibited person. According to multiple reports, his father stated, and I quote, "I would rather have a dead son than a gay son." Though the media often neglects to report stories centering violence against black queer bodies, stories like Gimmel's and Giovanni's aren't rare. Violence against the black queer community continues to grow by record numbers. In 2017 alone, 28 transgender people were killed in the United States, the most ever on record, many being black and brown trans women. These stories rarely make headlines, and when they do, misgendering and unjust reporting places most of the blame on the victim, allowing our deaths to become yesterday's news. Black queer people, especially children, face violence and socioeconomic setbacks at much higher volumes than our hetero counterparts. Black queer folks struggle with finding jobs and experience higher rates of bullying, which in turn leads to depression, inability to acclimate to society, and even higher rates of suicide. On top of all of this, the current presidential administration continues to attack the intersection of blackness and queerness. Since Donald Trump's presidency, we've seen the decimation of the nation's HIV policy, the attempted removal of LGBTQ protections from HUD, and the elimination of data tracking for LGBTQ people from census reporting in 2020. And we can't forget the multiple failed attempts to ban transgender people from the military. For the people in the back, black people can also be queer people. If your pro-blackness doesn't include queer people, you don't want liberation. You simply want the power to oppress, just as whiteness has done to us. No one is free until we all are.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. You heard George Johnson's spiel there, and the question, or sure, he's making a statement, I would say, and he's saying that there are some black lives that really don't matter. There are some black lives that really don't matter. And he lays out that subgroup of those individuals whose lives he believes that we are not taking as seriously, or perhaps we're not holding as valuable as we hold others. And he has a whole big way of talking about oppression and how this community's lives are kind of being snuffed out. And it's like there is no big uproar. You know, no one is saying a word about what's going on. When Trayvon Martin, that situation jumped off with the execution of Trayvon Martin, when Michael Brown was assassinated, and Eric Gardner and Tamir Rice. I mean, these became household names. But he says, but what about Gilmore Moore? You know, Giovanni Melton, persons who suffered violent, you know, types of things, and these murders and downright executions. And it seems like these names and their stories have faded into the background and nobody's talking about them. George is saying the reason is maybe we think their lives, you know, that their lives really don't matter. And we want to talk about that today. We want to talk about that today. And I have someone with me who is in the studio with me to have this conversation, with you also. And let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Willie Godman. Let's give him some of them big old hand clapping kind of stuff that we do here. Yeah. You know, I can become kind of self-aggrandizing and say this here, but I'm very proud of this fellow. This fellow was my classmate in graduate school, so I'm glad to roll with the big boys like this. Dr. Willie Godman has an earned terminal degree, and he is an associate professor of a pastoral care and counseling, or psychology of religion, pastoral care and counseling. Willie will help me clear it up there at the Interdenominational Theological Center here in Atlanta, Georgia. In fact, let me just tell y'all this. ITC here in Atlanta, Georgia is the premier center for what I call Afrocentric theological education. It is the headquarters where black theological thought just takes place. And you need to be a part of the ITC if, in fact, you feel some kind of interest in theology, philosophy, and ethics, and talking about this on a graduate level from an Afrocentric perspective, hey, you need to go to itc.edu or dial 445-277-7700. Hey, and you can get you some information there. We could talk about ITC more and more, but right now I want to tell you, just so you know a little something about the ITC here in Atlanta. Five schools, different denominations, got a lot going on. Willie Godman, Dr. Godman, he's on the faculty there. He is a practitioner in that he is the seminary's chief chaplain, I would say. And he's also over And I would call him the director of the Richardson Fellowship. And the Richardson Fellowship is the group of students at the Interdenominational Theological Center who are not a part of one of the denominations on campus. They are neither United Methodist, African Methodist Episcopal, Christian Methodist Episcopal, Church of God in Christ, Baptist, Lutheran. They're outside of those. They're not in those denominations. They're in another group, and Willie is the liaison between that group and the ITC. So, hey, Willie is here. Willie is going to help us talk about this situation here about black lives that perhaps don't matter. Oh, 404-892-2703 is the call-in number, 404-892-2703. Willie, how you doing over there?
I'm well. How you doing, sir?
Man.
Good to be here.
Man, listen, I'm just glad that I can sit at a table and have a conversation with a very smart brother.
Oh, I'll have to find somebody and pay them $5 for that truth.
Oh, man, you know what I mean. What do you think about George Johnson's, you know, his article, or shall I say his post? I think that, Sean, should I call it a post? What should I call it? You know, a post blog where he talks about black lives that don't matter. What do you think about that?
I think that he probably has a good, solid, and sound argument because we are often selective based upon who we appreciate and value based upon our interests and predilections for appreciation.
And go ahead.
And so in that challenge, he probably has a strong argument that we have a history, likely, of not necessarily valuing queer lives, black lives, with that distinction. Mm-hmm. So we have that kind of predilection. But we also have ways in which we culturally posit queer lives, queer persons to specific functions. And beyond that, we do not value them, possibly.
Well, why do you think that's the case? I mean, could you kind of unpack that for me? I want to use that kind of language. I want you to think through that. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, because we actually getting ready to have a heartbreak in about a couple of seconds, and I want to give you some time to unpack some of that. Because if, in fact, that's the case, why is that? Is it the fact that the Black Lives Matter movement, they've been kind of silent, or is it that they do not think that persons whose lives, people who are members of the LGBTQ community, that their lives are less valuable, that their struggle is less valuable? Why is that the case? And why is it even, and you know where I'm going, even the black church and our faith communities, why is it somehow or another, is it the case that we just don't take, you know, violence against this community as seriously as we would if it were, you know, perpetrated against people who were black and heterosexual? What's going on with that situation? I want to talk about that on the other side. Willie, you going to talk about it? I'm going to talk about it. 404-892-2703 gets you in the conversation. You can talk about it. What do you think? Do you think we care if persons who are homosexual, or shall I say lesbian also, shall I say same gender loving, homoerotic? I can think of a whole lot of terms used. Which do you think that somehow or another we could care less about what happens to this community? What do you think? Do we care less about it than the types of things that would happen to someone who was not a part of that community? I want to know what you think. Call in and let us know. 449-22703. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK. The voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Sometimes there's more than one answer to a problem.
Now what are you going to do about it?
We're exploring the possibilities.
Just follow my lead.
It's Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. Oh, time keeps on slipping into the future. Hey, that's that boy Seal. Oh, Boy, BB said he gonna fly like an eagle. What you gonna do? He gonna fly. Boy, let me leave that alone. Sean, you play. Sean, I hear you. You coming out the blocks heavy, baby, playing that seal. 404-892-2703 is the number that gets you in the conversation. Hey, we got it all teed up, and we're going to talk about whether all black lives matter, or is it just black lives, those people who, in fact, are heterosexual, or are different gender-loving people. I guess that's a word I can use. I'm creating that word, so hopefully you all were getting at what you understand what I'm talking about. Oh, let me say this. I heard some good news today, y'all. Sounds like the Tiger is back. It sounds like the Tiger is back. Oh, Tiger won the 2018 Tour Championship, and I know that's a. There you go, Sean. We got to get a Tiger his prompts. I mean, Tiger had been through some things, and one of my good friends, great friends, suggested to me that Tiger might be back. Maybe for a while, that Tiger lost his mind. Tiger was on drugs. Tiger dealing with that marital situation. Tiger dealing with surgeries. Hey, maybe Tiger is back. Maybe Tiger. That's good for business. That's good for business. But my hat's off to him. He's done a great job. 4489 He left. Kanye gone, man. Kanye, he gone, Sean. Kanye gone, man. Kanye gone. We Kanye gone. 4489-2703 is the number. George Johnson said that there are a set of black lives that don't matter. And what George Johnson is asking us to think about is whether or not our community specifically is taking seriously violence, acts of aggression, acts of oppression against same gender loving people. And he has cited at least two test cases that were just absolutely egregious. The execution of a 14-year-old man and a 14-year-old young man, Giovanni Melton. And then he talks about Gilmore Moore, who was, I believe killed. You know me and my conspiracy theories. I believe that Senator Buck killed him. That's what I think. Now, this is Bennett's thinking. This is not the position of WAOK. I just want to put it out there and tell you this is what Bennett thinks. And it has gone just into a no one's talking about it. And I'm wondering then, and I'm wondering whether Johnson's thesis is correct. You know, he's saying, you know, we don't care if something happened to someone who's black and gay. Willie Gottman is with me, someone who is a therapist by profession, and someone who's I tell you, you couldn't get a better person to help deal with these kinds of things. And we are talking about this. What say ye, Willie, about this George Johnson's this project that he's on that he put out there for us?
Well, my answer or response is that he is likely true. What he's postulating is likely true, because in general, queer lives are not generally valued on the whole, which is why we've had so much work done over the last few years with the queer community, LGBTQIA community, working to normalize, if I can put it that way, normalize their lives in the larger community, normalize their relationships, normalize their ways of forming family, normalize ways for this community to understand itself, it'd be in conversation with the larger community, even while we hold it distinct. So an added layer, which Mr. Johnson is adding, is an added layer of race.
Right, right. Okay. So if I hear you correctly, you're saying if they were white and homosexual,
that would be likely be some structures in place to be responsive.
Wow, Willie, now you've added something else to this conversation, this intersectionality now of sexuality and race.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if Johnson really nuances it like that. He talks primarily about sexuality, but I hear what you're saying. So you're saying part of the problem also is that we're black. But then should that not have been a reason that the Black Lives Matter movement should have gotten on board with doing something about some of these crimes? Because remember what Johnson says, and audience, I want you to go to the Gist of the Matter website. Is that where did you post that, Sean? Was it the Gist of the Matter with Dr. Bennett? All right, the link will be posted on the on WAOK's Facebook page, too. And you need to go there and listen to it, because what he's going to say that in 2017, on an average, one member of the LGBTQIA was killed, murdered in 2017, on average. Mm-hmm. There was one a week. And it's like nobody said a thing about it. And if they're black, then that makes it even more interesting. Why is it the Black Lives Matter movement? If all black lives matter, then why is it there is this silence when it comes to this kind of thing? I think, wow, Willie, that race piece is interesting. And I would think that might be a reason that we maybe, I don't know. I don't know what to think about the Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, maybe they don't care about all black lives, and maybe it's just black.
I'm not ready to posit that they do not care about queer lives.
Mm-hmm.
I am ready to posit that they are struggling and challenged by their primary postulate that black lives do matter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to nuance that, and I'm using that term very, very carefully.
Right, right.
Because to nuance that as related to black queer lives,
mm-hmm.
And specifically black queer male lives,
mm-hmm.
That they may not have gotten to that in as an agenda point. Now, I'm not letting them off the hook.
Okay, okay.
Because then we have to address black lesbian
right,
lives.
Right, 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 you know, right, right, right.
Like females. Or we have to leverage investment in black lives for women.
Mm-hmm.
In addressing it. So I don't think the agenda has caught up with the actions that is needed.
Okay.
And so, again, I'm not letting them off the hook, but which then presses us toward the challenge to how do we talk about, which is what Johnson is raising, how do we talk about and how do we indicate and declare that we are vested in the full scope of black lives. Now, there are a number of layers that's up under there. There's something related to race and ethnicity. Mm-hmm. There's something related to economics.
Right.
Something related to zip code,
yes.
Location,
yes.
Employment, mm-hmm. political ways to express oneself politically and political alignments. All of these are nuances
mm-hmm.
in this conversation. So when we're talking about black queer lives and whether or not they matter, there are a number of these aspects that help us to determine who is valuable or who gets first sight.
Wow, wow. Well, I tell you what, you know me, the way I like to think about things. I like to try to figure out what's behind this. Why is it? Why is it this is the case? Is it something that's built into certain kinds of stereotypes of people who might be black and gay? Is it some religious kind of stuff that's there? Is it certain kinds of, you know, political kind of stances we want to stay away from? Just why do we permit, you know, violence against persons who are part of the LGBTQIA? Why are we okay? Maybe I shouldn't say okay. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But why is that not creating such an uproar?
Because we have not vested in the full liberation of all black people.
Now, I want you to stop right there. Because that's where George wants us to pick up. All right, we're going to get at this thing on the other side. Listen, Felix, I'm coming to you next. And then we got some more callers for you to hear. We want to hear what you have to say. Dr. Willie Gottman is here. Dr. Harold Bennett is here. Sean is here. And guess what? News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community, is here too.
Give it some thought. You might be surprised what you discover.
This is where it gets interesting.
Dr. Harold V. Bennett is back on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Hey, this is Dr. Harold Bennett, and this is Give It Some Thought. Yeah, that's some stuff we need to think about, and we need to get to what in the world is the real deal here. George Johnson has got us talking about some things, and George Johnson has got us talking about and thinking about whether or not we as black people care about whether a part of our community suffers violence or their lives are being pressed and squeezed and at some point that they're not being recognized as full human beings. And he's talking about whether or not we really care about the whole situation of the LGBTQIA community. And that's something that we're talking about today, whether or not this community's lives, you know, if do they really matter as much as the lives of others. That's what we're talking about. 4489-22703. Listen, got to tell you something. Do you not know that it's time again for another WAOK Network Mixer? Yeah, it's time again for you to come out and rub shoulders with your comrades in the community and with hosts here at WAOK. Listen, join Derek Bozeman on Tuesday, September 25 from 4 to 7 for a live broadcast from Rosie's Coffee Cafe. The address is 48 Northside Drive. It's right there on the corner where Martin Luther King Jr. Drive and Northside Drive intersect. Come out and check out this new restaurant and network with members of the Overground Railroad Business Network. This will be one of the last opportunities to register to vote in the November election. You got to vote this November. Okay, you got to get it done. All right. Rosé's Coffee Cafe is located right across the street from the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. For more information, log on to WAOK.com. It's right there on the corner now, right there on the corner where MLK and Northside Drive intersect. And this is what you do. After you have a little something to eat there at the at Rosé's Coffee Cafe, just come on down the street and come on down to ITC and look at your heritage and see what the headquarters for intellectual black thought is. Yeah, come and check out those sacred grounds. Come and see where your premier black thinkers when it comes to theology, ethics, philosophy. You know, that's where we train. That's where we train. That's where we get. That's where we put in work. And you can be a part of the community, too. All right. 4489-22703. Let me go to the lines, and then I got somebody else I want you to talk to. Hello, Felix. How you doing, man?
Best day of my life, even though the situation in the area is still going ridiculously.
Hey, man. There's
nothing funny about it, my brother. Nothing
Tell me
funny.
What's going on. I'm smiling. What's going on?
All right. I went to church this morning over there at St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church. When I went to church, the Lord intervened in my spirit. God gave me to get the future premonition. I see about the deaths before the deaths even intervene. God intervened to me about the deaths that's going to go on this week, and it went on this afternoon. I heard some gun shooting this afternoon in my area. I live in East Point.
Okay.
Brothers and sisters in my area are getting shot and killed every day, mm-hmm. every single day.
Right.
And I hate seeing it happen. Our own brothers are killing our own brothers for mm-hmm. no daggone reason. Mm-hmm. Brothers, sisters, and children.
Right.
For no reason. It's just the devil and his intervenience.
All right.
Man, I hate saying it, but I see it before it even happens.
Okay. Now tell me what you think about George Johnson's claim, though. Do you think then that those shootings that you hear over there, do you think that it would be less important to the community if those persons were same gender loving?
If it's homosexuality, homosexuals I love all brothers and sisters out there. I love all of them. Homosexuals, there's nothing wrong with them, but they just go into their own formality. You know what I'm saying?
But tell me, that's not my concern though. Is do you think yeah. George Johnson's claim? He says that we seem to, in some kind of way, relegate a subset of our community to positions of, I don't know, where we just don't seem to care what happens to them. We care more about.
I care what happens to them. I care about everybody.
Okay.
I care about everybody.
All right.
And I care about myself also.
All right. Okay. All right.
Man.
All right. Well, I tell you what. I want you. Hey, listen. Hey, have you liked the 1380 WAOK Facebook page? Have you liked this on Facebook?
I haven't checked it out on Facebook yet.
Man, you got to do it. You have got to do it. And I want you to keep on listening Tell everybody about us. Hey, thank you so much for your call, Felix. 448-922-7003. We're talking about George Johnson. His claim that there is a group of black lives that simply don't matter. Yeah, hey, Willie Gottman is here with me. And listen, there's somebody else that's going to join us on this conversation. The gentleman's name is Jordan Mulkey. And listen, I got to tell you, this is one of the rising stars, I think, when it comes to black intellectual thought in the African-American community. This is one of our rising stars. Jordan himself is a graduating senior English major from Morehouse College. And let me tell you, Jordan is one of those gentlemen who was deemed one of the top intellectuals of the 2017-2018 academic year by the Maroon Tiger at Morehouse College. And let me tell you what, he's actually just getting in from Boston. He actually got a chance to represent Morehouse up at Harvard. They're at Harvard University's 2018 Political Campaign and Civil Engagement Conference. Now, let me tell you what Jordan does, and he does very well, and this is something that I think he's going to excel in his graduate work. He writes and he deals with black queer studies and critical theory. Critical theory. There you go. That's Bennett right there. We got to give some stuff some thought. And he's actually, the way things are lining up for him, and if they work themselves out, Jordan's going to be doing a PhD in African-American studies up at Northwestern. So I want you all to welcome Mr. Jordan Mulkey. Hello, Jordan.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm glad you finally made it back from Boston. How's it going?
It's going really well, Boston. Treated me nicely.
Okay. Listen, you got a chance to see George Johnson's blog post. I don't know the correct term to use. What's your take on that? What's your take on that?
Well, George Johnson is a mutual colleague of mine, and I thought he did exceedingly well with detailing and explaining and unpacking kind of the concerted effort that the system uses to destroy, erase, annihilate black queer folks, and how the African-American community often erases those narratives, helps to erase those narratives, or neglects the injury that happens to black queer folks because of their queerness.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to talk about that because I hear what you're saying, Jordan. I hear what George is saying. And Jordan, let me tell you this. I have Dr. Willie Gottman in the studio with me, too. He's the senior chaplain there at the Interdenominational Theological Center. He has a terminal degree in psychology of religion, or more so pastoral care and counseling. He has an appointment in that area. And this is something that he does on a regular basis, and he's joining us for the conversation. So he's here in the studio with me. So it's two of you all really smart guys, and I'm just here just carrying you all's water and just hoping you all, you know, will let me be a part of the conversation. Listen, let me say this. Jordan, I want you to hang tight. I'm going to go to a break. All of the lines are lit. All of the lines are lit. The number is 448-922-7003. And this is what I'm going to do. Just as soon as one of our callers completes his or her call, I want you to call and get in that slot just as soon as you can. Say, put us on speed dial. 448-922-7003. Because I'm telling you, it looks like right now we don't have any space for you, but we will have space for you in a few minutes. We got a lot to talk about. I'm concerned about making sure that all lives matter. You know, I mean, you know, the situation with Trayvon and Michael Brown and Eric Gardner and Tamir Rice, clearly, and others, they're not the only ones, and others, they brought to our attention, you know, the travesty that's happening in our community with respect to African-American males. But George Johnson, he said, but wait a minute now. In 2017, there was, on average, one member of the LGBTQIA community being murdered or killed each week, and nobody's saying a word about it. We don't know nothing. I don't know. We just, somehow or another, we don't know nothing. Ain't nobody saying a thing. And his thesis is because their lives don't matter. We got to talk about that. We got to talk about that, and we will. Willie Gottman, Jordan Malky, and Harold Bennett. We're going to deal with it on the other side. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Things are not always what they seem.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Sometimes you have to read between the lines to figure out what's really going on.
It's tough to get any more obvious than that.
Get ready to discuss provocative issues in our community, like spirituality, philosophy, and education, to ethics, crime, and everything in between.
So far, so good.
It's time to open your mind and look at life on a deeper level. Give it some thought and get to the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
What's about to be said right here, you need to listen with both ears.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. That's getting close. Dan Siegel. All right, Sean, good choice. Hey, I got to tell y'all something. You might want to make sure, matter of fact, make sure you write down this piece of information. Very, very important. Listen, you got to get out and vote. And November 6th is a huge day here in Georgia. We got a lot at stake. Get out and vote in the November 6th election. One of the most important races ever will determine Georgia's next governor. Make sure you're registered by going to the My Voter page at sos.ga.gov. Let me say that again, sos.ga.gov. If you're not registered, the deadline to get registered is Tuesday, October 9th. All right. Make your voice heard. For more information, you can log on to WAOK.com. Listen, you know what you should do when you go to work tomorrow? Ask your colleagues, are you registered to vote? I think that'd be really good if each of us purpose in our heart that we're going to ask, you know, all of our colleagues, hey, listen, are you registered to vote? And if they tell you yes, encourage them to exercise their right to vote. If not, then what you should do is direct them to get registered, or better yet, tell them to log on to WAOK.com where they can find out what they need to do to make sure that they are registered. It's too much hanging in the balance. It's too much hanging in the balance. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears. You know that phrase in the Negro National Anthem, you know, is all about, and it comes out of this whole thing about where we've, you know, we've been denied the right to vote, and we're voting now, so we want to take advantage of that. Okay, 404-892-2703 is the number. I have Jordan Malky with me. I have Dr. Willie Gottman with me, and I'm going to the lines. I'm going to get Will. Hello, Will.
Hey, Dr. Bennett, I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, man, I wouldn't miss it for the world. What's on your mind today?
Well, just this topic that you brought up, I try to be a responsive listener and an enthusiastical supporter of your ministry. And I look at this Gemmel Moore over in West Hollywood, California, who was found dead in this sodomist Edomite's house, this rich Democrat. And I think that the reason people want to cover it up is because this goes all the way up to the Queen of England. These are the pedivores. These are the Luciferian sodomists that engender all LGBTQ from child and infant rape that the Bible talks about. I mean, that's why through the gate of Christ, America was founded by the root of Jesse. There's only one God, and God doesn't want anybody sodomizing anybody. Doesn't want them sodomizing their infants, which creates all this perversion, because then they go the way of the devil. And, of course, you know, we all got life eternal, but we can't let these people stand up that are clearly suffering these curses before God and make like it's legitimate, because it's not. It's satanic. And we got to understand that as ministers of the Lord, that there is only one perfect creator, God Almighty, our name sovereign. And that's all. If you got something to say, I appreciate it. But that's how I appreciate you letting me speak my mind.
Oh, no, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your call, Will. And I'm certain the community got a very different take on the way the world exists. Thank you so very much. 449-227-03. I'm going to Joseph from Boston. Hello, Joseph.
Joseph from Boston, Massachusetts. Could you hear me?
Oh, man, I can hear you very well. How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. Let's get straight to the facts. Facts from fiction. I'm an expert on this topic, just like everything else.
What? What are you expert on? Killing LGBTQIA people? What are you expert on?
Just let me throw, Dr. Bennett, you'll see exactly where I'm getting at. 84% of all mammals are homosexual. 8 to 15% are bisexual. It's the genetics to be gay. I'll tell you where the problem lies. The problem lies in these satanic cult worshiping people that's running the system that wants to push that gay agenda. Okay,
now, hold tight. Hang tight.
Can we flow?
Hey, no. But what, I want you to flow if you're addressing the question. The question is whether the lives matter. We're not talking about sexual orientation.
Well, if you give me a chance, I'll get there. Just give me a chance. Just
all right.
You give your Bible.
Go ahead,
buddy.
Joseph. Go ahead, yeah. Joseph. Go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. First of all, I majored in psychology in college. 40 years ago, homosexuality was considered a mental illness. What I'm saying is nothing wrong with they having equal rights. But, like, I'm a communist. The old saying goes, the sum that makes up the part is more important than the part that makes up the sum. Gays are only 4% of the population. We spend so much time talking about LGBT. It's obviously it's a prank. So these people don't care about the fact that 72% of children born out of wedlock. I'm not saying they should have rights, but when you have a black president, a so-called black president, you ask me, I call him an Oreo, black in the outside,
okay,
and white
Joseph,
in the inside.
Joseph, hold on. I'm gonna put you on hold for a minute. Let me explain to you, Joseph. Here is the question. Maybe you know what I'm gonna do. Maybe I failed to articulate what the question is. So let me say this again. The question is whether LGBTQIA lives matter. Are we as much concerned about, you know, mistreatment, you know, hostilities and other kinds of things directed towards persons who are LGBTQIA as much as we're concerned about someone else? We're not talking about sexual orientation. That's not on the table. All right, Joseph, appreciate you listening. Jordan, what do you think about that? Jordan he dropped off. All right. Willie, what you think?
No.
Jordan, are you there?
I have to take a breath.
Oh, you had to take a breath. Okay.
Yeah, I have to take a breath. I think that shows kind of the logic that people are using to even enter the conversation proves George's point. And prove the point that I'm going to attempt to make, which is that it's almost impossible, or it's beyond comprehension for us to think at once or think together blackness and queerness in ways that acknowledges the injuries that comes to people who sit at that intersection, not only because we live in a heterosexist society, like not only because we're taught to that, you know, heterosexuality is the only way in which one should desire, but because blackness itself has always been thought of as unable to be injured or able to withstand injury. Blackness itself has always has been situated as an injurious thing that is neglectable, that is negligible. And therefore, when these two identities converge, we have what you see, we have what you see today, people not being able to kind of even approach or begin to think through the question. Because both queerness and blackness is eclipsed when it comes down to talking about the violence that happens to them and to those identities.
Wow. Well, I hear you, man. And I understand about needing to breathe, because I tell you, that comment, I was sitting here, man. I had a mask on my face trying to get some oxygen, boy, because that was, it was just too much for me. It was too much, just too much, you know. But I tell you, it's part of the challenge that we have, and I'm hoping that, in fact, I tell you, when we come back on the other side, we can talk about just what you have put in play, Jordan, about some of the assumptions we have and what's keeping us from thinking and having an open mind and talking about just this issue, the intersectionality between sexuality and maybe even our race. Maybe we're thinking that in some kind of way out that blackness is being damaged. Maybe, right. Maybe we need to explore that. Willie's going to help us talk about it too. All right. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Sometimes there's more than one answer to a problem.
Now, what are you going to do about it?
We're exploring the possibilities.
Just follow my lead.
It's Give Us Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Okay, so News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. John playing that Jimi Hendrix. He's playing that Jimi Hendrix. Oh, yeah, that brother from Seattle, Washington. Clearly one of the best electric guitarists, I guess is the term I could use, of the previous century. Hey, I got some guests with me, and we're talking about George Johnson's piece about the black lives that don't matter. I have Dr. Willie Gottman, and a little anticipatory socialization, I have Dr. Jordan Malky with me. The Atlanta University Center is present. The ITC and Morehouse is present, and I'm so glad that we're together. Jordan, you raised a point that we're going to address just after I take this next caller, and I really want to talk about the whole question of blackness being injured with respect to a person somehow or another appreciating or accepting the possibility that someone can actually be involved in a homoerotic relationship and perhaps how does it relate to understanding blackness? We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. All right, Kylie. Hello, Kylie.
Hi, Dr. Bennett.
How you doing? You know what? I am so glad to hear your voice. I heard a rumor about you. You don't want to know what the rumor is?
Yes, sir.
Your first time caller.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Look at that. Come on. There you go. Well, I tell you what, Kylie, I wanted to thank you so much for being a first time caller. Have you liked us on Facebook, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community? Have you liked us on Facebook?
No, sir.
Oh, I wish you'd do that. That would be good. Do that and tell someone else about us. Hey, what's your question or your comment?
Well, I would like to know, can you love a person without liking them?
Willie, what you think?
I don't believe so. I believe a command or instruction, particularly for persons who are Christian in their religious orientation, the command is to love. The commendation is to love. Liking is a legalistic conception where we try to make distinctions between what we're going to accept and what we're receptive to, or who we are receptive to. But the commendation is to love, and love is not a hallmark emotion. Love requires everything about us. Even the parts of us that we are afraid of and worried about and concerned and don't know we have the skill to share or exchange. And so I hear the question whether or not we can love them and like them. And that's usually the way that we give ourselves out, where we give ourselves out in relationships without exploring what is required to bring everything about ourselves to a relationship. Kylie?
Yes, sir.
What do you think? What do you think about Dr. Gottman's response?
Well, everything that he said is true, and I agree with it.
Okay.
And I would love to hear your response or what you think on that statement or question.
Well, I find it difficult to love someone and to dislike them. You know, that's the thing. And we'd have to, for me, I'd have to sort through what you really mean by really loving somebody, and then what do you mean by liking someone. I don't know of anyone that I truly love that I just dislike. Usually if I dislike somebody, I probably don't love them. That's just been it. I mean, you know, I'm just being honest with you. If I dislike somebody, chances are I don't love them. You know, so that's Bennett's, thinking. Where are you on this issue?
Well, I have this person that's extremely aggravating, and I do not like them in a certain type of way,
mm-hmm.
like in some type of friendship way or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But I love them with the love of God, and I really do love them. I would do anything for them, but I just don't like them.
Wow. Okay. Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you calling. But tell me, what do you think about the question? Do you think that the lives of LGBTQIA persons are just as important? Do you think we respond the same way as, you know, when something happens to someone who's not a member of the LGBTQIA community?
Yes, sir.
You think we will respond the same way?
A little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Kylie. Listen, I want you to keep on listening. Tell people about WAOK 1380 AM, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Peace and love. All right. 449-227-03. You know what, Jordan? You made a comment. And I think Willie is going to respond to it. Because I told Willie, I thought about what you said. And you actually invited me to think about something very, very differently. And it's about this whole question of injuring blackness. Well, let me ask this. Say more about what you meant by that. And then Willie wants to share something.
Succinctly, Sadia Hartman writes this book, Black Feminist Sadia Hartman writes this book called Sins of Subjection in 1998. And in the book, she talks about black folks being constituted as ubiquitously criminal and having a negligible injury, which in layman's terms or in more simplistic terms means that blackness and black folks are always seen as always already criminal, and any injury that accumulates upon their body, upon their beinghood, is deserving of neglect. And she looks at slave records, she looks at lawsuits, from the antebellum period to kind of prove this claim and choose this objection. But that's what I mean when I say blackness having a position where their injury is always negligible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right, Willie, I was talking with you too, and I was thinking Jordan was heading in another direction with this piece. And Jordan, let me say this while you're listening. What I was thinking was perhaps one of the reasons some people might have, people don't feel as injured or aren't as concerned when someone who is a member of the LGBTQIA community suffers a wrong, is that somehow or another we feel that this group might be in some kind of way injuring notions about masculinity. And I thought when you was talking about the blackness piece that added another layer of injury, and for that reason, not seeing it as vicious as we could. And I was talking with Willie, and Willie, you know, kind of nuanced it for me. Go ahead, Willie, say what you were saying.
Sharon was that this question and concern as to how black to be black and queer and the treatment or mistreatment, misuse and abuse, whether or not Black Lives Matter, Black Queer Lives Matter, is really an extension of the question of the cultural question. We have a historical, I think Jordan alluded to that. We have a historical misappreciation, a lack of appreciation for African descended people that is located in chattel slavery. And so as an extension of that, we often hear and talk about the rape and abuse and misuse of black and African women, but we don't talk about the rape and abuse and misuse of African men as a part of chattel slavery. And so historically and culturally, because we have not nuanced that conversation, have not really done a lot of work in that conversation, then when we don't know how to value or appreciate LGBTQI persons, particularly African descended men who are working to affiliate themselves and affirm themselves in a way that reflect possibly misogynist misuse by chattel slave owners.
Wow.
And so we have not yet resolved, we have not resolved the issue and challenge around the misuse of black women, African descended women. So we certainly have not addressed the concern of misuse of African descended men.
Wow. Well, listen, gentlemen, hang tight. We're going to pick this conversation up on the other side. I just appreciate Kylie calling in from New Orleans, Louisiana. Or shall I say New Orleans, Louisiana. I appreciate her calling. I appreciate her listening. And we're going to pick this conversation up on the other side of the break. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Sometimes there's more than one answer to a problem.
Now what are you going to do about it?
We're exploring the possibilities.
Just follow my lead.
It's Give Us Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Okay, so News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. John playing that Jimi Hendrix. He's playing that Jimi Hendrix. Oh, yeah, that brother from Seattle, Washington. Clearly one of the best electric guitarists, I guess is the term I could use, of the previous century. Hey, I got some guests with me, and we're talking about George Johnson's piece about the black lives that don't matter. I have Dr. Willie Godman, and a little anticipatory socialization, I have Dr. Jordan Malky with me. The Atlanta University Center is present. The ITC and Morehouse is present, and I'm so glad that we're together. Jordan, you raised a point that we're going to address just after I take this next caller, and I really want to talk about the whole question of blackness being injured with respect to persons somehow or another appreciating or accepting the possibility that someone can actually be involved in a homoerotic relationship and perhaps how does it relate to understanding blackness? We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. All right, Kylie. Hello, Kylie.
Hi, Dr. Bennett.
How you doing? You know what? I am so glad to hear your voice. I heard a rumor about you. You don't want to know what the rumor is?
Yes, sir.
You're a first-time caller.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Look at that. Come on. There you go. Well, I tell you what, Kylie, I wanted to thank you so much for being a first-time caller. Have you liked us on Facebook, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community? Have you liked us on Facebook?
No, sir.
Oh, I wish you'd do that. That would be good. Do that and tell someone else about us. Hey, what's your question or your comment?
Well, I would like to know, can you love a person without liking them?
Willie, what you think?
I don't believe so. I believe a command or instruction, particularly for persons who are Christian in their religious orientation, the command is to love. The commendation is to love. Liking is a legalistic conception where we try to make distinctions between what we're going to accept and what we're receptive to, or who we are receptive to. But the commendation is to love, and love is not a hallmark emotion. Love requires everything about us, even the parts of us that we are afraid of and worried about and concerned and don't know we have the skill to share or exchange. And so I hear the question whether or not we can love them and like them, and that's usually the way that we give ourselves out. Where we give ourselves out in relationships without exploring what is required to bring everything about ourselves to a relationship.
Kylie?
Yes, sir.
What do you think? What do you think about Dr. Gottman's response?
Well, everything that he said is true, and I agree with it.
Okay.
And I would love to hear your response or what you think on that statement or question.
Well, I find it difficult to love someone and to dislike them. You know, that's the thing. And we'd have to, for me, I'd have to sort through what you really mean by really loving somebody, and then what do you mean by liking someone. I don't know of anyone that I truly love that I just dislike. Usually, if I dislike somebody, I probably don't love them. That's just been it. I mean, you know, I'm just being honest with you. If I dislike somebody, chances are I don't love them. You know,
yes,
so that's Bennett's thinking. That's been what? Well, why don't you? Where are you on this issue?
Well, I have this person that's extremely aggravating. And I do not like them in a certain type of way,
mm-hmm.
like in some type of friendship way or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But I love them with the love of God, and I really do love them. I would do anything for them, but I just don't like them.
Wow. Okay. Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you calling. But tell me, what do you think about the question? Do you think that the lives of LGBTQIA persons are just as important? Do you think we respond the same way as, you know, when something happens to someone who's not a member of the LGBTQIA community?
Yes, sir.
You think we will respond the same way?
A little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Kylie. Listen, I want you to keep on listening. Tell people about WAOK. 1380 AM, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, peace and love. All right, 449-227-03. You know what, Jordan, you made a comment. You made a comment, and I think Willie is going to respond to it. Because I told Willie, I thought about what you said, and you actually invited me to think about something very, very differently. And it's about this whole question of injuring blackness. Well, let me ask this. Say more about what you meant by that, and then Willie wants to share something.
So, succinctly, Sadia Hartman writes this book, Black Feminist Sadia Hartman writes this book called Sins of Subjection in 1998. And in the book, she talks about black folks being constituted as ubiquitously criminal and having a negligible injury, which in layman's terms or in more simplistic terms, means that blackness and black folks are always seen as always already criminal, and any injury that accumulate upon their body, upon their beinghood, is deserving of neglect. And she looks at slave records, she looks at lawsuits from the antebellum period to kind of prove this claim and choose this objection. But that's what I mean when I say blackness having a position where their injury is always negligible.
Wow. All right, Willie, I want to, and I was talking with you too, and I was thinking Jordan was heading in another direction with this piece. And Jordan, let me say this while you're listening. What I was thinking was perhaps one of the reasons some people might have, people don't feel as injured or aren't as concerned when someone who is a member of the LGBTQIA community suffers a wrong is that somehow or another we feel that this group might be in some kind of way injuring notions about masculinity. And I thought when you was talking about the blackness piece that added another layer of injury, and for that reason not seeing it as vicious as we could. And I was talking with Willie, and Willie, you know, kind of nuanced it for me. Go ahead, Willie, say what you were saying.
Sharon was that this question and concern as to how black and queer and the treatment or mistreatment, misuse and abuse, whether or not Black Lives Matter, Black Queer Lives Matter, is really an extension of the question, of the cultural question. We have a historical, I think Jordan alluded to that, we have a historical misappreciation, a lack of appreciation for African descended people that is located in chattel slavery. And so as an extension of that, we often hear and talk about the rape and abuse and misuse of Black and African women, but we don't talk about the rape and abuse and misuse of African men as a part of chattel slavery. And so historically and culturally, because we have not nuanced that conversation, have not really done a lot of work in that conversation, then when we don't know how to value or appreciate LGBTQI persons, particularly African descended men, who are working to affiliate themselves and affirm themselves in a way that reflect possibly misogynist misuse by chattel slave owners.
Wow.
And so we have not yet resolved, we have not resolved the issue and challenge around the misuse of Black women, African descended women. So we certainly have not addressed the concern of misuse of African descended men.
Wow. Well, listen, gentlemen, hang tight. We're going to pick this conversation up on the other side. I just appreciate Kylie calling in from New Orleans, Louisiana. Or shall I say New Orleans, Louisiana. I appreciate her calling. I appreciate her listening. And we're going to pick this conversation up on the other side of the break. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Give it some thought. You might be surprised what you discover.
This is where it gets interesting.
Dr. Harold V. Bennett is back on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. On News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. You're listening to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold Bennett. I am sitting here surrounded by the brain trust, or shall I say a representative sample of these thinkers that are who are here at the Atlanta University Center. I have interdenominational theological center pastoral counselor and therapist Dr. Willie Godman on the one hand, on the one side of me, and then I have via the wonders of modern technology the gentleman who just got in from Boston, Massachusetts, up at Harvard, having a conversation dealing with political involvement, engagement, and critical theory, that kind of thing. Mr. Jordan Mulkey, and wow, I tell you, I have a community around me that I'm happy to be here and to be with. And we're talking about George Johnson's piece. It's actually posted there, and we're concerned with the question he is raising, because he is saying that there are some black lives in our community that simply don't matter. And we're having a conversation about that, and Jordan has helped us to think through that kind of thing. Jordan, I want to ask you something. What do you think can be done about this whole problem of a certain community's lives not counting as much as someone, as the other dominant kind of group? What do you think, you know, should be the response that the black community should take about this, take towards this?
Well, I think that the best thing we can possibly do is attempt to adopt an intersectional analysis. And of course, I can give, you know, the Kimberly Crenshaw definition, but I think it can be better defined by analogy. I think James Baldwin defines it or says something very similar to what Kimberly Crenshaw attempts to intimate when he says, if I'm starving, then you're in danger. So this notion that, you know, all violences that anyone face endangers our beinghood. You know, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, as Dr. King would say. Like, our oppression is interlocking. And once we get clear about that, then as a people, then what happens to trans women, black trans women, what happens to black queer folk writ large, will cease to be a non-issue. We will actually begin to center them in our politics, because we will realize that their salvation is our salvation, that their liberation is enmeshed, entangled, inextricably to our liberation. But until then, until we realize that, then what's going on will continue to go on.
What do you think, Willie? What?
I believe and think that we'll probably have to have a severe shift in our theological orientation,
mm-hmm.
because we have a generalized predilection toward disposability.
Mm.
We decide who is disposable based on our theological understanding, how we interpret God, how we interpret God's action, how we interpret God's validation, affirmation of persons and people. That's part of our religious heritage,
mm-hmm.
and that's normative to religious practice. But that does not mean that we stop. But as Mr. Mulk has pushed us forward, that means that we have to do some critical thinking
mm-hmm.
about how we theologize and how we understand culture and what we do with our sacred texts and how we teach them to one another, and how we teach them to ourselves to value ourselves and others. Usually we start from a place of somehow or another that there's not enough resources to go around.
Mm-hmm.
So we start with a notion of insufficiency. We start with a notion that there's not going to be enough to supply all of us. And so that's when we begin to move in directions where we decide who is valuable and who is disposable. For this particular argument and conversation today, what we're talking about are black queer folk,
uh-huh.
that they are disposable, that they do not need our communal affirmation, that they do not need understanding and gratification of their lives and relationships. And so, and until we determine and move to a different kind of distinction, as Mr. Mulk has pushed us toward inclusivity,
mm-hmm.
We will continue to consider ourselves trying to survive and trying to make sure that my house or my relationship or my family is sustained and sustainable, and that others who do not match that, who do not mimic that, are therefore disposable.
Wow. All right. 4489-2270-3. Let me go get some of these callers. Robert. Hello, Robert. Robert. Going once. Robert. Going twice. Robert, you're gone. Todd, hello.
Hey, Harold Bennett.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm in a perpetual state of struggle. Jordan and Willie, I'm be conscious of the time. I have two comments for Harold, then I want to answer the question.
Okay.
One, I sent you an email to your Theological Center account. The subject line, I put Michael Strickland's paper, and then I put my name so that you knew where it was coming from.
Yeah, I saw it. I read it. I saw it. Okay, I'm going to make sure he gets it. I think that's well written, and I kind of wish you could have sent it to me before today. So I could have perhaps had an answer for you, but
well, I don't want you to address it on air because I'm conscious of how much airtime you.
No! I was going to forward it to him. And I could have. I was hoping I could have gotten something back to you soon. But I'm going to send it to him today. But I did see it, and I think you raised some good points in there.
Okay, and Kylie, if you're still listening, you absolutely can love someone and not like them. If you're delivering a selfless devotion to the healthy nurturing of someone or something, you do not need to like somebody to do that, but you will be demonstrating love. Now, in reference to the topic at hand, I would say this. Absolutely, their lives matter. Absolutely. But if the question is more involved in what you're describing, I think you're trying to ask is, are they treated fairly? And tell me if I'm wrong. Are they treated fairly as it applies to criminal offenses being made against them in comparison to criminal offenses being made against other people? Is that what you're trying to find out?
I think that's part of George Johnson's claim. I think that's part of it because he does say, and you remember those two instances that he cite, the one with Gilmore Moore and the other piece with Giovanni Melton.
Yeah.
He is saying that there has been, you know, nothing done, you know, especially about the young man who was drugged and found dead in the in the apartment of that that senator. I think I'm saying that right. And then the whole idea of Giovanni Melton. He was only 14, 15 years old, and his father says, "I'd rather my son be dead than be alive and gay."
I'm familiar with that case. I read a lot about it.
Yeah.
And although in that specific case, you would think that maybe that his life did not matter as much to the person who should have thought his life mattered more than anybody else because he made them. However, overall, their lives are, as it applies to criminal offenses made against them, are treated the same as people who are not like them overall in this country.
But listen to that.
It depends on what their involvement was in the person's lives that killed them prior to them being killed, because sometimes people are, although I do not believe in blaming the victim, we should acknowledge that oftentimes a victim becomes a victim because of something they contributed to somebody's anger unnecessarily and incorrectly. That happens. That happens a lot. You know, just because if you smack somebody in the face, it's probably wrong for them to go blow up your parents' house with your parents in it. But had you not smacked him in the face, they probably wouldn't think about you anyway.
Well, I tell you what, Todd, this is what I'm going to do. No. Don't go anywhere. I want to hold you over because I've got a break. And I want to give Willie, Dr. Gottman, I want Jordan to respond to your comment on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
I'm going to put you on hold, Todd. Hey, you know, Todd. Todd has a way of setting it off. Doesn't Todd do that? You all know Todd has a way of, as they say, let's just put the skunk on the tape. Todd, and I like that about him. And we're going to talk about it on the other side when we come back. All right. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Get them back to the table.
Now back to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
This is the one they're talking about.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. At 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
And Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. The gist of the matter, Dr. Harold V. Bennett sitting here with Dr. Willie Gottman. And as I said a little anticipatory socialization. I'm looking forward to the day that brother gets that PhD, Mr. Jordan Malkey. Got a lot to talk about. Todd made a comment. Todd, are you there?
I am.
I'm going to let Willie and I'm going to let Jordan respond to you, and I want to get to these callers before we run out of time. Todd was talking about the whole idea of people, how did you put it, Todd? I don't know if you use the word provoking someone to.
There are crimes that people are victims of as a result of them having committed an action that they could not control the consequence of the action for. And that happens. And sometimes, often when it's reported, it's only reported that if someone is a victim of a crime, but it's not talked about to what degree that they contribute to the motivation for somebody to commit that crime against them. And we should acknowledge that. And that happens a lot in these crimes against people that are homosexuals and things such as that, just as much as it happens to people that are completely heterosexual.
All right. I'm going to let Jordan first, then I'm going to let Willie respond. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I think that that's to suggest that there's some, like, conspiracy of power where, you know, trans folk, black trans folk and black queer folk writ large are in some way inviting or seducing violence to themselves by existing. And I think that, you know, so much of black existence, especially when one is black and woman, black and queer, is resistance even in one's own existence. Like, you are a threat to civil society just by existing against what white supremacy says one should exist as. So this notion that, you know, black folk who are queer or black folk who are trans in some way seduce the violence that happened to them. It's age old white supremacist logic.
You're not listening to the point that I made clearly. I'm saying that, let me give you an example. I know personally of a transgender person that was killed in Chicago, and it was reported that a person was killed in Chicago, but what they didn't report was that that transgender person was a thief. You know? And they stole from somebody who just went over the top in their punishment of them. But the only thing that was reported was that a transgender person was murdered. These things happen. Let me say this to exit because there's other callers. If you take the time to look at this episode of Fatal Attraction, it's a TV1 episode. There was a transgender man that was killed in the Cleveland area. And if you look up transgender man Cleveland area featured on Fatal Attraction, they did an hour on this story. The person that killed this man was way out of line. But if you look at the reason for him killing him and how the whole thing evolved, you could understand whether you agree with it or not. You could completely understand. I'll go back to listen to the rest of the broadcast.
All right. Willie, respond.
I am anxious about what I'm calling a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very close to the argument that has been historically made to support violence against women. That because mm-hmm. a woman had on a short skirt, then that made her subject to rape and assault.
Mm-hmm.
Because she walked into a room, then she was subject to whatever kind of ridicule and misogynistic response in the community. And so that does not... So I'm concerned that we do not hold all parties accountable equally,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and that we give some folk a little lighter pass than others or stronger affirmation. So that's my concern. And so as a person of African descent,
mm-hmm.
I am thoroughly aware of being a problem when I enter a room.
Okay, I hear you. Wow. All right, well, Todd, thank you so much for your calling, Todd, and I know you're going to keep on listening. All right, 449-22703. I'm going to Taylor. Hello, Taylor.
Hi, Bennett. How are you?
Man, 250%.
Well, I'm going to talk what Canadians call a frenemy. I'm your friend and your enemy.
What's going on with you, man?
this is what it is, and I hope you will hear. See, I graduated from Selma University. From ITC, they get doctorate degrees, come to Selma University, get presidential. I was unaccredited on all of that. School, Selma University, the only historical black college that missed celebrating its 100th anniversary. And y'all don't know this. I used to talk to Dr. James Costin, as well as Mrs. Costin today, about that institution. I know a lot about it. And Dr. Costin was incredibly impressed with my love for Selma University. And so I'm trying to say something, but one of the things that's making me a frenemy toward black radio is you have sometimes these producers comments of what you want to say. And a lot of people have not learned how to say what it is that is themselves. And so one of the other things that has happened, I told Sean for the other show, I have recently come out of women listening to the way my mother just men dream about it. What we've done is to women and in by Thomas.
How do you let me ask you this? How do you have a pre conversation with a human being? How do you do that?
You go to your mother. Like I went to my mother. My mother lost a son before me. And I went to her. I said, Mother, I said, I want to know what you know when you went through, when you were carrying the brother before me. And I told her, and I asked her first if she wanted a son, and she didn't. I didn't have no problem with that. And so I asked her about the one that went before me, and I said, the more you can tell me about what you went through bringing me in this world, I said, I can protect my mind from the police making me feel guilty about
or, in fact, they give birth to children. That's what you mean by prenatal?
Yes, that's okay, prenatal. Okay. I'm pretty sure you and your professors know about that at the table. And then the other thing, Bennett, there's a Dr. James, Henry. Fred Henry or something like that. He's a graduate of ITC. And he told me that when they come in there as ministers, why is it that they leave as monstrosities? That's what an old preacher in Atlanta told me. He went to Mount Baptist Church there on the hill.
I'm just saying, I've seen just the opposite. I've seen them come in as ministers and leave thoroughly prepared or far more prepared to minister responsibly. Yeah. Well, I've been around ITC for a minute, and ITC put some good product in the field, buddy. I'm telling you.
Well,
right now.
I know that, and one of the best that come through there was my good friend, Dr. Abraham Smith.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's right. Dr. Abraham Smith, we used to fish together in Alabama. We did a lot of things together, and we have an open-ended conversation about something. When I went to Virginia Union, I suffered a moderately severe depression.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is in about the April 1982. I have dissected the month of April of knowing that it's the most most turbulent month in the history of America. People have historical stomachs and all of that kind of stuff.
There you go. All right.
And I'm talking fast, Brother Bennett. But, you know, I would like to engage some of you all in conversation off the air. But I am very serious when I say
Black radio
is turning me into a
Stay on the line. Stay on the line. And I'm going to get Sean to get you information. We'll see if we can't make that happen. All right? Thank you very much. Hey, got to go. Gene Ross, thank you for the platform and the space to have these conversations with our community. Sean, thank you. Willie, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
The Interdenominational Theological Center. Call my office.
All right. Jordan, thank you so much for joining us all the way from getting in from Boston and representing the community well. And to this, Jordan, just thanking so much, just a big shout out goes to this audience who made this conversation happen. And Jackie Teal, you know, I love you, baby. You raised a good, strong black boy. Let's talk again next time. Peace and love. Bye.